We're in Manhattan, New York City, yeah.
Joe used to live there. Joe used to live there.
Yeah, I live in Brooklyn. San Diego. It's where the Brooklyn Wiggins live. Yeah,
all right.
It's a nice area now.
I'm starting. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa. Gedula Janinha. Alephet Gimel Yutat Sadi. Unconditional love. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Tarenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dor Shehut Ha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. The letters of the month, the Dalet that created the planet Ma'adim, the planet Mars, and the He that created the constellation Taleh, the constellation Aries. And together, the Dalet and the He represent the opening of the doorway between the physical world and the spiritual world. Barchem tacharem rakame sitkata tamid gamlem tetet resh saditav kimmel chasim kadosh berov tucha Na'el Adata Et Kuf Bet Tet Nun Ayin Yahid Ge'er Lamcha Penei Zofrei Kiddushata Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadiyutah. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. I'm reading from a verse from the Zohar, from the Parashat Tzav. I'm reading verse 91 from section 12, the name Kel or El, Aleph Lamed. Vayihi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kenenei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kenenehu. Hashtait Lemeimar Ahaneinan Vehitaru Havraya El Bekol Atar Chesed Hu. Kedah el hagadol veda nehiru techach ma'ila'a v'yat amrat v'al zoam v'kol yom shavik kira kol ilen shema'achan v'achid becha i'haki la'kaimin milei v'yod diktiv El Gibor, O Nokim Le Dina, O Nokim Le Rachame. Now is the time to raise a question. We learn that the friends remarked that the name El is always of chesed, as it is written, the great El. This is the illumination of the supernal Chokmah. Since chesed rises to become supernal Chokmah, when Zeron Pin is in greatness. You say, and an El who has indignation every day, in which the verse disregards all those names that indicate chesed and holds on to this judgment. The words are not true then. It is also written a mighty El. It is difficult, since we should either establish that the name El is of judgment or that the name El is of mercy. The verse is just raising the question and giving different examples from the Torah of how the word El, Aleph Lamed, sometimes appears to be coming from the frame of judgment and sometimes appears to be coming from the frame of mercy. And he wants to know, what is the name El? Is it a name of judgment or it's a name of mercy? And later, as this section of the Zohar progresses and develops, we will find that El is always coming from the frame of mercy, but that sometimes to the vessels, to ourselves, we can see that what looks to us as judgment is really coming from the frame of mercy. And an example of that is the idea of the redemption from Egypt, which is based on appearing as absolute mercy. But at the same time, it's a frame of judgment for the Egyptians. And this is what's so difficult for us to understand when we were reading the Chumash and also all of the Tanakh. Sometimes the word Kel or El is used in a frame of mercy and sometimes in a frame of judgment. And how do we reconcile which is why? So this is the question that's being asked in the Zohar. Does anybody have any questions or comments before we start?
Why did you read that?
What was that, Jack?
Why did you read that part of the Zohar?
Why do I read that part of the Zohar? I read that part of the Zohar because that's where the book opened up. I read from a particular section, parasha by parasha. The parasha of the week is related to the energy that we're going to be seeing in the universe next week. That's why on Shabbat morning we read that parasha to receive the protection shield for that energy. We study it the week beforehand, so the more we know about it, the more we're building our vessel to handle that light of protection. And also to be able to reveal the light that's going to be coming in that week, the positive aspect of that light. And so I pick a verse for each class based on where I open in a particular parasha. So that's why I pick that particular verse. I really let the universe pick it, and it will always pick the one that's right for the energy of this class. Are there any other questions or comments? Tonight's handout is located at the Yeshem website at yeshem.com/sy29.htm. And we will be talking about Mishnah 5.3, and depending on timing, we will start 5.4, but probably not complete it. Now, we're talking about the Book of Formation, Sefer Yetzirah, and I'm reminding you that this is a book of outreach written by Abraham to the people of his generation. Now, Abraham is a metaphor, so our generation is a person or people of Abraham's generation. So this book is written for us to learn how to connect to the Creator. So I'm going to read verse 5:3 and 5:4. Yud bet v'shutot, yud bet v'lo, yud gimel, yud bet v'lo, yud aleph, hachachan, chatzaven, tserfin, shekalen, hameran, v'tzar bahen, mazalot, v'chassadim, v'men hahegan. Verse 5:4. Shanim lo asim, shanim lo asim, Shanim Oletzim, Shanim Olezim, Shanim Noatzim, Shanim Turafim, Shanim Sadim Oshan, Kamin Merava Osim Nosachachar Archan, Kamin Milchama Gam Etze Leoma Atze. I'm reading now the English translation of 5:3. Twelve elementals. We're talking about the 12 letters that are singles. There's not 13 of them, and there's not 11. There's 12. They are the He, the Vav, the Zion, the Chet, Tet, Yud, Lamed, Nun, Samech, Ayin, Tzadi, and Kuf. Their foundation is engraved. He carved them, he engraved them, he permuted them, he weighed them, and he transformed them. And with them, he formed 12 constellations in the universe. 12 months in the year, and 12 directors in the soul, male and female. Verse 5:4, if we get that far tonight. 12 constellation in the universe. Aries, which is Tale, the ram, or the lamb. Taurus, which is Shor, the bull. Gemini, which is Teomim, the twins. Cancer, which is Sartan, the crab. Leo, which is Aryeh, the lion. Virgo, Betulah, the virgin. Libra, Moznaim, the scales. Scorpio, Achrav, the scorpion. Sagittarius, Keshet, the archer. Capricorn, Gedi, the kid. Aquarius, which is Dali, the water drawer. Pisces, Dagim, the fishes. Actually, 5:3, 5:4, and 5:5 should also be studied together. But we won't have time even to finish 5:4, so I didn't include 5:5 tonight. These Mishnayot are the ones that deal most directly with the astrological aspect of the commentaries. They're dealing with the astrological influence and how to determine Hebrew astrology. Today's world, these chapters are taught without any meditative aspect, but we will be teaching the meditative aspect as well as the astrological impact. The astrological aspects are dealing with the physical world. They're dealing with the body consciousness. Whereas the meditative aspects that we'll be teaching tonight are dealing with the internal soul level of these letters. In order to truly get this material, one must understand the mindset of the author and of the times Otherwise, you will not be able to comprehend the correlations. That includes the astrological, and we also need to know the medical science of these ancient times. And you're going to have difficulty accepting this. I did until I have meditated upon it. So I'm letting you know in advance, there are things that you need to look at in order to comprehend this based on the consciousness of the earlier generations, not from the standpoint that I know better because our science is better. We need to understand it from their perspective and then relate it to our generation and our knowledge. As an example of this, we're told that the ancients did not know about the outer planets. They didn't know about Pluto and Neptune and Uranus because they could not see them with the naked eye. And this is absolutely not true. Our sages of that time wrote about the other planets. But they said the other planets represented the higher spherot, the Keter Hachman Bina. And in their generation, Keter Hachman Bina worked through the seven lower sephirot. They're not unto themselves. But as we get closer to the time of Mashiach, the higher levels of Sphirot, the Keter, the Hachman, the Bina, are starting to work more directly. Not on everyone. And this is the mistake that the Western astrologers are doing. When they start to bring in these planets into their analysis, they're bringing these other planets, but it doesn't apply to every person. It only applies to those who have grown to a level where they will affect them. Otherwise, they're still working through the seven lower planets. And that's what was taught to our ancients, to Abraham, to the earlier astrologers, and all of the rest of it. The same thing applies to the medical side when we talk about the body parts, the correlation of the body parts. We know that Oriental medicine works. There's no discussion in these 12 of the brain, the heart, or the lungs. What kind of body are they talking about if we're excluding these three? And that's because these Mishneot are dealing with mind-body energy issues. And they're coming from the level of Olam Yetzirah, the area of formation, not creation. And that's where you will find the body parts that we will discuss. The correlations apply. It's not that they didn't know about the heart, the mind, and the lungs. They just knew that at the level of Yetzirah, they don't apply. Oriental medicine, which is becoming somewhat well known in the West, is teaching that the source of the body's energy is a place in the center of the body between the belly button and the groin, the male organ. This is the source of the chi energy, ki energy. This is the source of the body's essence. And that's what we are going to be talking about in dealing with these 12 elemental letters. Just in case you think that what I'm talking about, Oriental medicine, is not Jewish, and has no background in it, you've heard of the city or the location of Qumran, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. What they also found there, in addition to the various scrolls, they found the equivalent of acupuncture needles, styled and manufactured in exactly the same way as needles found in China and in India, all dealing with this same knowledge of what Oriental medicine teaches today was always part of what was taught in Kabbalah, was always part of what the Jewish knowledge had. This is all part of what the Sefer Yetzirah is teaching us. In the New Testament, there's a discussion, an argument, descriptions of two groups of Jewish people. One is called Essene, and one is called Sadducee. The Hebrew word Essene, when it's used in the New Testament, corrupts the concept. The word Essene in Hebrew, or in Aramaic, means healer. And the conflict between the Essenes and the Sadducees was not as described in the New Testament. That conflict was described in the Talmud. It was a machloket. It was an argument. The temple had been destroyed. People were in argument as to how to handle this. One group wanted to throw the conqueror out of the country. The other group cautioned patience. They wanted to wait until the group, until it was the appropriate time. They felt that to try and rise up and rebel, they would lose, and it would be worse for the Jewish people. And this was what the argument about, and those who disagreed were called Essenes, and they moved into the desert. And they worked on improving medical science. They worked on improving their character traits. They worked on improving themselves so that the world would change because they were changing. And the Sadducees kept control of the temple, the Temple Mount, and all of the political machinations, and became part of the Jewish world as it attempted to integrate and compete and cope with the external world, the regular people. And that's what the machloket, that's what the argument was all about, not what is described in the New Testament. Now the...
Thank you, Anoy.
I'm sorry?
Thank you. That was a very enlightening description compared to what I know about it beforehand on the Christian side.
Understood, Chris. So continuing our learning, the Mishnah says 12 and not 13, and 12 and not 11. What is it talking about? It's similar to what the first Mishnah, chapter 1:1, said. 10 Sefirot and not 11. 10 Sefirot and not 9. What is it? What is happening here? The 12 elementals are the lower manifestation of something from a higher level. The 12 lower levels must connect to a higher power. And so we might think that there is 13 because of this higher power. Yet we do not connect to the higher level of energy called Yetzirah and call it a 13th. This is not part of our physical world. Only the 12, not the 13. 12 is 9-11 is seeing the 10 Sephirot plus the negative system as the 11th. The negative system is not holy. It's not kadosh. It is what is called in the Eastern religions the chakra system. They have 11 chakras. They have 10 negative sephirot plus the energy to activate it, which comes from the kedusha. That's what the idea of 11 sephirot represents. It's 12, not 11. It's not talking about the negative system. It's talking about the kadosh part of our spiritual world, of our physical world. It's talking about the tetragrammaton on the right, the tetragrammaton on the left, and the tetragrammaton in the center. It's talking about four letters each times three, the 12, not 11. It's not talking about the impure system. The traditional Chinese medicine does not use chakras. Chakra is a term that comes out of yoga, comes out of India and Hindu. We have a procedure because ultimately everything came out of Judaism. But as it came out, it got corrupted. And we have a method taught by the Baal Shem Tov to return it to the kadosh side, to the holy side. But it has to go through that process. That's not, obviously, that's a subject for a different class. Why are there 12 constellations? Why are there 12 tribes? Why is it 12 and not another number? We understand why there's six sephirot in Zeranpin. There's six emotions. But there's six emotions of direct light, and there's six emotions of returning light. And that's why we have 12 dealing with the physical world. We have 12 dealing with the emotions below and the emotions above. The same meditations that you've been taught on the double letters and on the mother letters, those same meditations will work, and you need to practice it with the elemental letters as well. From these letters came the mazalot, the astrological influences. The creation of, just as I said today, the He created the Tale, the Aries. Each of the 12 letters, elemental letters, created one of the signs of the zodiac. Which one and why was it created from this letter? This is subject to your meditation. You need to be asking that of the letter. You need to be asking that of the month. You need to be asking that just as you did with the mother letters and just as you did with the doubles. One second. Now, in this Mishnah, it talks about the months and the mazalot, but it also talks about guides. The guides is a term referring to the body parts, but obviously, why didn't it say body part? What are the 12 guides? They're the two hands, the two feet, the two kidneys, the liver, the esophagus, the stomach, the spleen, the gallbladder, and the intestine. Why are they referred to as guides? Here is a hint. The word comes from a shoresh that means to drive, to lead, to be in the habit of. It is time you changed your consciousness. Body parts drive us, not our thoughts. True or false? This is a question for you to meditate on. Do body parts drive us? Are they in control? Go ahead, Joe.
We walk, we pick up things.
Well, don't you do that with a thought first? Don't you do that? Don't you take a step by thinking about it first? Or do you just walk? That's the question. Say it again.
Your mind controls the body part. I'm going to pick up this remote. My mind tells me to pick up this remote.
Yes. But does your mind tell you to pull your hand back from the hot stove, or you just pull it back? Who's in control then?
A reflex.
But the reflex has a control. There's a thought coming from somewhere. It's just not coming from your mind. It's coming from the body part itself. It's coming from the part that says, I don't want to be hurt. It's a reaction.
It's a nerve ending, and it tells you not to touch it because you'll hurt yourself.
Now, that's a learned behavior. The human being is curious. He reaches out to the hot stove and is a two-year-old, and he'll touch it. That's why parents slap hands. It's a question that needs to be considered and thought upon. It needs to be meditated upon. Who is in control, your mind or your emotions? Your mind or your heart? That's the question that is being asked. There's a great secret that I'm about to reveal to you. The word nefesh, which we retranslate as soul, the lowest level of soul. And in the Sefer Yetzirah, it means consciousness. And it deals with thought. The name Ehyeh, Aleph Hey Yud Hey, it also has 12 permutations. Just as we taught you the last few weeks about the Tetragrammaton, the name Ehyeh also has 12 permutations. The concept of year, Shana, time, is dealing with emotions. And the Sefer wrote in Zeranpin. The name at that level is the Tetragrammaton, which also has the 12 permutations, as we've taught you. Now, the Mazalot, or the stars, the name that we deal with there is Adonai, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. And it has 24 permutations, 12 on the lower level and 12 on the higher level, 12 of direct light and 12 of returning light. Here is tonight's meditation teaching. And it's similar to last week when I taught you about the Tetragrammaton. You remember? Yo-hey-wah-hey, yo-hey-hey-wah, yo-wah-hey-hey. Hey, you know, it sounded like the Indians were coming. I'm teaching you tonight those same idea for the name Ehyeh, Aleph-hey-Yud-hey. And I'm teaching you the same thing for Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, Adonai. And the pronunciation is always with the root vowel. In this case, the aleph is ah. Dalet is da. He is he. Vav is vav. Yud is yo. Nun is nu. When you are doing these permutations, you are taking Bina and Zeranpin and Malchut and uniting it into one unified whole. But there are two ways to unite things. I can take a river and have two sides of the river and build a bridge to cross the river. And then that bridge becomes a channel between one side of the river and the other side of the river. But I'm talking about three things. I'm talking about one side of the river, the other side of the river, and the bridge itself. There are three things involved in connecting the two sides. And those three things never unify 100%. They're always going to be known as one side of the river, the other side of the river, and the bridge. But there's an idea of a knot. There's an idea of interlinear. There's an idea of combining and unifying on such a level that things become truly one and they lose their identity. There's no longer one side of the bridge, one side of the river, the other side of the river, and the bridge itself. Now there's just the crossing of the river. This is called a knot. This is the true ultimate in unification. There are times when we need to do that. There are times when we need to unify by using the three components. And I'm going to teach you tonight both aspects. And it's written right here on your handout. So I'm starting. First will be the 12 permutations connected to Bina in Echie. Ah, hey, yo, hey, ah, hey, hey, yo, ah, yo, hey, 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 ah, yo, hey, hey, ah, hey, yo, hey, yo, ah, hey, yo, ah, hey, hey, yo, hey, ah, hey, yo, hey. Hey yo, hey ya, hey hey ah yo, hey hey yo ah. Now we connect that to the Tetragrammaton and its 12 permutations. I didn't write them because you have them from last week and the week before. Yo hey wa hey, yo hey hey wa, yo wa hey hey. Hey, hey, wa, yo. Hey, hey, yo, wa. Hey, wa, yo, hey. Wa, hey, hey, yo. Wa, hey. Wa, hey. Wa, hey, yo, hey. Wa, hey, hey, yo. Hey, hey, yo, wa. Hey, yo, hey, wa. Hey, wa, hey, yo. And then you reach Malchut and connect to the Adonai. Adanu, yo, Adan, Anadu, yo, Anayoda. Ayo da nu, ayo nu da, da nu yo, da ayo nu, da yo anu, Tanu ayo, tanu yoa, tayo nua, na dayo, dayo da, na dayo, na dayo wa, na ya, na yo ada, nu yo ada, yo ada nu. Yo adanu, yo danu, yo danu wa, yo nu ada, yo nu da. This is the method of combining in the three parts. But as you read down, there's another method, that of the knot, of the interlinear. And you can see in eight lines, you have all of these letters. They're the same letters, but they're connected by taking the first letter of Echie and the first letter of the Tetragrammaton and the first letter of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Ayoah. Then you take the second letter of Echie and the second letter of the Tetragrammaton, and the second letter of Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. And you get, hey, hey, da. And you just continue that all through the 12 permutations. And then you tack on the last 12 permutations of the Adonai. Now, when I did this week, there's a way to check. You need 240 letters, and I only had 236. I'm missing, excuse me, it's 200 letters that you need, and I only had 196. I'm missing one of the names, and I didn't have time to go back and check for it. So what you're looking at is slightly off, and as I have time after or during Pesach, I will correct this section and make it correct. So know that it's off, but you can use it to practice with. Just don't memorize it until I correct it. And you'll know I've corrected it when this paragraph above it, where I tell you it's incomplete, is taken off. One of the great tools we are given for control is a tool that I give you each month. When I send out my monthly blog, I tell you about the permutation of the Tetragrammaton that applies to that month. And we utilize it for taking control of that month. It's an amazing tool. It works. These permutations actually come from various verses in the Tanakh. Sometimes they come from the first letter of the words in the verse, and sometimes they come from the last letter of the words in the verse. As I have time, I will provide that in this section of this page also. I'll show you what verses are applying to what permutations. When you're looking for the control, you don't need to have that information. But as you grow in your vessel, you'll need the information to enhance it. And so I'm starting to develop that, but I didn't have the time this week due to Pesach and everything else. So I'm just letting you know the concept. We're going to go on to Mishnah 4, but only just to touch it. It really, we will do most of the work next week on Mishnah 4. The one point that I want to stress is that Mishnah 4 does not appear in any of the versions of the Sefer Yetzirah, except the Ramak's commentary. Only in the Ramak do we have Mishnah 5.4. In every other commentary, in every other version, whether it's the Gra version, the long version, the short version, your mother's version, all of them do not have this Mishnah. Because there's a lot of things there that people don't know how to handle. And so they kind of just let it go. They couldn't explain it, so they didn't print it. But the Ramak brings us and explains to us what this Mishnah is all about. This is the Mishnah that mentions the 12 mazalot. This is the Mishnah that teaches Hebrew astrology. Hebrew astrology. That's something called 13 circles. It's not two circles, as in Western astrology. That's why Hebrew astrology is so accurate, because it's really dealing with all of the nuances of the world and how the letters interact with each other. Yes, Joe?
Hello?
Yes.
Hebrew astrology, wasn't that rejected by some element of the rabbinical Judaism?
I won't argue with that statement, but I would disagree with the word rejected. Let's understand what the issue is. Every monotheistic religion says you need to be a better person today than you were yesterday. Improve yourself. Change your methods. Some of them teach it intellectually. Some of them teach it follow the golden rule. Different ways of expressing this same concept. Be a better person today than you were yesterday. Now along comes astrology. And when it's practiced by a person knowledgeable in astrology, it's accurate. And what that says is everything is foreordained. Everything is known. So now the student comes to the rabbi. Rabbi, I learned astrology. Why should I be a better person? Because it's already known what's going to happen. Whether I become a better person or not, this is what's going to happen to me in my chart. What do you think the rabbi is going to say to this question?
I don't know.
He's going to say, astrology, that's foolishness. Astrology, that's meaningless. Astrology, don't pay attention to it. Listen to me. You become a better person. And it's only with the wisdom of Kabbalah that we are able to understand that astrology applies to one of the rooms, one of the movies that we're playing. But there's millions of different potential movies that we could have chosen based on our doing binding by striking, based on our doing restriction. And if we choose a different movie, the astrology will be different in that movie. But in that movie, the astrology works. In that movie, the astrology is telling us exactly what the movie is going to show us. But whether we're in that movie or in a different movie, that's our free choice. Whether we do binding by striking or we just go through the watching the movie, that's our free choice. But the rabbis didn't have that explanation. It wasn't shared with all of the rabbis, only with a few. only with the ones at the higher level of consciousness. But people didn't know that. Their rabbi was their rabbi. He was just a little bit more knowledgeable in the Torah than they were. But he wasn't truly knowledgeable in the Kabbalah. And that is why you have this opinion that the rabbis rejected astrology. And the truth is, they never rejected astrology. What they rejected was astrology works, but only in the one movie. And we can choose another movie. We have the technology to be in a different movie. But they had no way to communicate that to the common person. So they told them, just stay away from it. It's not true. Believe me, it's not true. And you know what believe me means? That's Hebrew. Believe me, trust me. It's Hebrew for, am I going to screw you? God forbid. This is the energy we're talking about. No, Joe, it wasn't that they rejected it. It just isn't complete as you understand it. Astrology works. It tells you exactly what's going to happen to you in this movie. It doesn't tell you which movie you're in. And it doesn't stop you from going into another movie. You remember that class on the movies? I was in San Diego when I gave that to you.
Yeah, the multi class. The first class is right.
Yes. Say, and that's where it is. And that's what Hebrew astrology is all about. It's telling you what's going to happen to you in the movie that you're in. It can tell you, and that's where Hebrew astrology is so unique, it can tell you which movie you'll choose. But you never takes away that free choice. It tells you which of 25 movies you can pick and what will happen with each of those 25. And that's why it's so complicated. And that's why nobody ever gets a full, complete Hebrew astrological reading. The closest you come is to when I give you your tikkun, where I tell you to go to Martin Shulman's website and get your tikkun, and when I give you the aspects that you can find from your name. This is just part of the system. That's part of it. That's Hebrew astrology. It's all intertwined. It's all complete. But I give you enough that it directs you where you can find out more about yourself and why you are in this world and what you are to do here. It shortens your process. Because most of people's spiritual work is finding out why they were born and what they're in this world to accomplish. Any other questions?
Most people fail in that endeavor.
It's not a failure, Joe. They make a mistake. They get to come back and do it again. We just would like to shorten the process so you don't have to come back again. We're not going to give you the information. You know, next Tuesday, a guy is going to come by your office and ask for a glass of water, and that is your tikkun. We're not going to give you that kind of detail. It's available in the charts if somebody bothers to do the calculations. But it would be cruel. There'd be no removal of bread of shame if somebody said to you next Tuesday at 10:22 in the morning, somebody's going to ask you for a glass of water while you're sitting at your desk busy getting a new sale, a new collection. And because of that, you need to give them the water because that's your correction. It goes against your nature because you're really involved with this collection and you don't want to be bothered with getting him the water. And so you're going to go out of your nature, away, do more than you normally do. Nobody's going to give you that information. We're going to hint it to you. We're going to tell you your correction is to share. Your correction is to go out of your nature. Your correction is to learn how to stop your reaction. So when that guy asks you for the water and your reaction is to tell him to go to get out of here, you'll stop your reaction and you'll get him the glass of water. And you won't have to come back. Clear? Any other questions? Any other comments? This Thursday at 8 o'clock, West Coast time, we have a third class in the preparation for Passover. It's highly recommended that you join us. And please, I hope you're doing the connections for each morning during these 12 days of Nisan. If you don't know where to go on the website to find out what to do or how to do it, send me an email and I'll get it to you tonight. You have 8 more days. You have the opportunity to control your year just by taking 10 to 15 minutes each morning during this period. Please consider doing it. Everybody have a good week. We'll see you on Sunday, if not before.
Okay, enough.
Take care.